So now when Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. And God said, I'm going to show you my goodness. Now, goodness comes in a lot of different ways. You know, in the New Testament, we take a look at the promises of God, and all the promises of God are good. Amen. All the promises of God are good. And so the goodness of God comes in a variety of ways. And I began to think about that just in the natural. How can we perceive, how can we understand the glory of God in so many different ways? Well, the more and more that I began to meditate on that, and the Lord took me back to when my wife and I were building a new home. And I remember we wanted to build this house out in some land that had never been, there'd never been anything before. So there was no water, there was no electric, there was nothing, man. We had to bring everything in. And the general contractor, he said, now before we start work, he said, I got to have some electricity. He said, either you get the power company to bring in the power to the house, or I got to bring out some generators. But we're going to have, he said, I got to run my drills, and I got to run my saws, and I got, you know, we're going to build something here. And I thought about that. Now, I went to the power company, and sure enough, man, they added, I think two poles and brought the power over and dropped a plug, you know, and boy, my contractor, he had power. Now, this power, this electricity, really, you think about it, now there's power in electricity, but it's generic. You know what I mean by that? Now, when you plug in a drill, well, then it gives power to the drill to be able to drill holes. But now, if you plug in a saw, you can't drill a hole. It gives power to the saw, so now you can cut some things. Well, now, if you get hot during the day and you plug in a fan, you can't drill a hole, you can't cut, but you're going to cool off because it's going to blow air. It's all the same power, but it's used in a variety of different ways. And so now when you say, you know, God, I want to see your glory, and God says, I will show you my goodness. Goodness comes in a variety of ways, but it's all because of the power of God. See? It's all because of the power of God. And so now they began to put in some drill, you know, they plugged in some drills, they plugged in some saws, they plugged in a fan. They did all of this, and all of a sudden, all of these things began to happen, a variety of different things, but it was all because of power. Now you see, God's glory is God's power. And when God's glory comes into our lives, it's the power of God which causes his goodness to be applied to our life. Amen? That's why, you know, when Moses, boy, he said, God, show me your glory. And God, can you see a smile on his face? He said, I'm going to show you all of my goodness, you see? And his goodness comes because of his power, his glory among us. And so now, let's take a look here. We saw here in Exodus that God's glory is God's goodness. But now, let's turn in our Bibles to James 1 and verse number 22. James 1 and verse number 22. Now, you know, when this power company brought power to us, and we had, boy, we got power going across this line. We got power coming down the pole. And we got power right to that outlet there, you know. But if we don't plug into it, if we don't attempt to use it in any way, even though the power is there, it's not going to do us any good. And so now James 1:22, what does it say? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, you can say, boy, I'm telling you what, man, I got the power. Man, we got this power company, and they brought in these power poles, and they ran these power lines, and I got power come down, got power to the pole. And you ask, well, what are you doing with it? Well, it doesn't do you any good, does it? And so the Bible says, be ye doers of the word. In other words, plug into the power. Not only believe that it's there, but be a doer of it. See? And then you will reap the benefits of the power of God, or the glory of God. You know, when my wife and I, we'd been married, I don't know, maybe a couple of months, and you know, you're probably the same that I was. When you first get married, you know, we're just scraping pennies together. You know, you're just doing everything you can do to keep things going, you know. And we found this little apartment, and all we thought, it was just wonderful. You know, boy, here we are, and we got, you know, a little stick of furniture over here and a little stick of furniture over there, you know. But we're just thinking, oh, man, this is great. You know, we're starting out. Well now, we saw that. Good morning. It's good to see you again. And so, you know, here we are. We're going to church. And after the Sunday morning service, there was a gentleman that came to me, and he said that he and his wife were planning on going on vacation in 2 weeks. And he said, we just wondered if you two would like to house sit for our house while we're gone. They said, we trust you, and we would rather that somebody be in the house than it just be empty for 2 weeks, see? Well, now, I knew that he was the principal at one of the junior high schools in town, really well known, but I had never been to his house. And so I said, well, I said, I would love to say yes, and I think we will, but first, he said, I'd like to talk to my wife about it and ask her what she thinks, and then we'll give you an answer. And so I talked with Ann about it, and we both agreed. We said, boy, that sounds like a good idea, you know, that sounds like fun. And so now he said, well, why don't you come over this week sometime, and we'll show you around the house before you come for the 2 weeks. Okay. So now we went over to the house. And now I'm telling you, the difference between our little Cracker Box apartment and their house, I'm telling you, is like night and day. I mean, we could have put our little Cracker Box apartment back in one corner of their house, you know. And we drove up. And I think we drove up with both of our mouths hanging open, you know. We go, oh, my goodness, I didn't know we said yes to this, you know. And we pulled up, and, oh, it was a big house, you know, and it was up on a hill, had a nice view, and they invited us in, and, oh, would you like a cup of coffee, or would you like some iced tea, or, you know, what would you like? We sat around for a while and talked. And then they started to show us around the house. Well, this is over here, and this is over here, and you just feel free, make yourself at home for 2 weeks, you know. And boy, I'm telling you, it was just, I still remember it today, it was just amazing. And I remember during that week coming home from work and coming home to that house, you know, and just looking at my wife, big smile on our faces and just thinking to ourselves, we certainly are blessed. Boy, are we blessed. But now you see, we had to say yes. You see that? We were asked if we would come and stay in the house. Now, we could have said no, and we would have never experienced that. You see, there are many promises in the Word of God And the Bible says that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In other words, say yes to the promises, but we can say no. We say, well, you know, I just don't know if that stuff works or not. You know, I just don't know about that. And so, you know, it's possible to say no and then never experience the goodness of God that's found in the promises of God. You see, I heard this the other day, that the glory of God is the goodness of God revealed in the promises of God. Now, you see, in the New Testament, as New Testament believers, we experience the goodness of God and the glory of God in all of his promises. And we just merely need to say yes, yes, to his promises. Now, let's take a look at another verse here. And I'm going to go to Romans chapter number 4, and I'm going to read 19, 20, and 21 here. This is about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, I can tell you quite honestly that there have been times when I staggered with unbelief at the promises of God. I have. But now, this particular case, it says here that Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now there's a key right there. Knowing that God is able to perform his promises. He's faithful. Amen. He's a faithful God. And so we begin to see here, How are we going to do this? Now, let's go back to this example of the house. This power that came to the house, you know. And all of these workers, they're using all these tools to build this house. Well, now you get to a point where the house is all enclosed and it's starting to get finished. And so now they're putting in lighting. And they're putting in a furnace, and they're putting in air conditioning, and then a little bit later, you know, it gets a little bit more done, we start moving in, and we start wheeling in a refrigerator, and we start, well now, all of these things are connected to the power, but now think about it, it's all the same power, but when you connect it to a furnace, it gives you heat. When you connect it to an air conditioner, it gives you cold. When you connect it to lights, it gives you light. You see, it's all the same power. But depending on what you hook it to, it's going to give you some good things. Now, the promises of God are the same way. The promises of God are connected to the power of God. And when we say yes to the promises of God, even though it's God's glory, it's God's power, it's all the same power, yet all of these different promises will give us different things. And so, how do I actually do that? How do I actually connect to that? Well, now in my house, when it's dark in my house, I walk over to the wall, and there's a wall switch over here, and I turn on that wall switch, and the lights come on. Now, when I walk into my house, and it seems like the house is just a little hot, you know, it just seems like it's a little hot. Well, now I go over to the thermostat, and I set it on cool, and I set the temperature, and it cools down, right? But now, this time of the year, I go into my house and maybe the house feels kind of cold. Well, now I go over to that thermostat and I make sure it's on heat. And then I set that temperature where I want it and it gives me heat. It's all the same power. You see, God is a good God. He's a very powerful God. And so when we have needs, we need to go to the promises of God that handle the need that we have, whatever that need is. You know, there's these promises that God has promised to us, and within these promises is the power of God. And so I remember when I went to Bible school, one of my professors said, "You got to keep the switch of faith turned on." You ever heard that before? You got to keep the switch of faith turned on. Now, what does it mean by that? Well, when I walk into my house and it's hot, and I go over to that thermostat, and I set that thermostat, make sure it's on air, and then set that thermostat for a certain temperature, right? And then I immediately turn around and I think to myself, how come it's not cold? No. I know that it's going to take a little bit for that air conditioner to get geared up, blow some cool air, and cool down the house. Now, you see, when I went over to that thermostat and I set it, when I didn't immediately see a change, I didn't just decide, you know, that's not working at all and turn it off. No, I left it on, knowing that over a period of time, things are going to change. That's what I'm talking about here. You got to keep the switch of faith turned on. Even when you say yes to a promise and you don't see anything right away, you got to keep the switch of faith turned on. And you got to say, you know what? I might not see anything right away, but I know I'm going to. Because it's the power of God at work in my life. And God promised me this, and I know He's faithful to His promise. And so we keep the switch of faith turned on. Don't turn it off. It's like some of these newer lights. Have you ever seen some of these newer lights? You'll go over to the light switch, and you turn the switch on, and you can just barely see the light. And you think to yourself, man, that's not very bright. But now you wait a little bit, and it get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Now, you see, you could go over to that light switch, and you could say, you know, I'd like some light on, and flip that switch and not see much, and then flip it back off and say, oh, that's not working. And you know what? You're never going to see the light because you turned the switch off. You got to turn the switch on the promises of God, and you got to keep the switch on. And how we do that is by continually believing, trusting, thanking God for His promises, knowing that He's faithful to His promise. And so, here again, let me read this again. This is what I wrote. God's glory is His goodness revealed through His promises. And we are going to see the glory of God revealed in 2015. The glory will be seen in 2015. Amen? And so we have every reason to believe that as we keep the switch of faith turned on, in whatever promise we need, and there are many, we keep the switch of faith turned on, knowing that God is faithful to His promise. Now, I'd like to close with a song. Standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises of God. to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on promises of God. Sing it again. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. You know, we keep this up, we just might have revival. You know that? Amen. Glory to God. Standing on the promises of God. Amen. Standing on the promises of God. Now, you know, I just at the end of the service here, we've been talking about the power of God, the promises of God, the glory of God, and to really experience the promises of God, you've got to know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so if there's anybody here today, maybe you're just uncertain. You know, you might have gone to church all your life. But going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage makes you a car. I mean, you can sit in the garage all you want to. It's not going to change you into a car, you know. You've got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and just know that you're in the kingdom of God. Amen. Or maybe, you know, you know you're in the family, but you just haven't been doing the things that maybe you think you ought to be doing. Sometimes we call that backsliding or just not being where you think you ought to be with God. And you just want to come back to God and just you know, get right with him and say yes to him again. Is there anybody on those two counts, you know, just want to know for sure that you're in the family of God, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, or just come on back and say, you know what, I'm just going to get closer to God than I've ever been before, man. I want to see the glory of God this year in my life. Amen. And I think, you know, boy, we could probably all raise our hands to that one. Man, I want to see the glory of God. Amen. And I just want to, you know, just make sure that what do you say we just start out the year right? You know, just start out the year right and know that we're leaning toward looking at God and believing God for his promises in our life this year. Amen. That the glory of God is going to be revealed in our lives this year in 2015. Amen. Praise God. It's so good to be here, and I want to thank everybody for coming in. We just kind of gradually grew. Just more and more and more came in. It's wonderful. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we just come to you now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come together as the body of Christ, to look into the Word of God and see what you have for us today. Father, we thank you for your glory. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your promises. And Father, we know that you are faithful to your promises. Lord, we are believing that we will see the glory of God this year in our lives, in 2015. And we are pressing in to the goodness of God. Father, we just thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.